Sydney. It's the greatest city in the world, except for the M4 and the M5 and the M5 East. It's a city that you can't help but love. I mean, Parramatta Road at Concord is a bit of a nightmare, and Narellan Road is always backed up. And don't get me started on Pennon Hills Road, Windsor Road, James Roos Drive, or Cleveland Street. And the less said about George Street, the better. But whether you're stuck in traffic in Bondi, Bella Vista, or Blakehurst, or simply stuck at home because you can't afford the f***ing tolls, you might as well listen to Radio Chaser on Triple M.
Something very exciting is happening on today's show. We are actually having someone on the show who knows what he's talking about. It's not Andrew playing a character. It is the actual MG is coming on the show to preview Origin Game 2, guys.
I am pumped.
Oh, look, I'm not. I don't think we should have experts on our show who know what they're talking about. It's not our show, you know. it's just not in keeping with the rest of it.
Well, you make a good point. I mean, if people want to know what MG thinks about football, they could go to his show, arguably we're adding nothing to the conversation.
Do you think we're actually undermining our own show by sort of promoting his show and everyone will just start listening to his show instead?
I think the thing to do is for us just leave the room when MG comes in and let him do his thing for as long as he wants.
Yeah.
Are you going to take the mic back off MG? I'm not.
I think Triple M would probably like that as well.
It's quite possible. But look, back to our normal beat of matters political, and in particular matters Trump. And there's something about Melania Trump. I mean, Donald Trump's an idiot, but when Melania gets out and tries to do something, sometimes it's even weirder. Like at the convention when she plagiarised some of her speech off Michelle Obama. That was very strange. The Be Best initiative, that doesn't really make sense in English. And Andrew, she's come up with an absolute corker today.
Oh, look, you know, we've all turned up wearing the wrong thing to work sometimes, but Melania's outdone herself. You know, she's gone to visit these awful sort of child detention, you know, horrible jail cells where kids are being kept at the border, immigrant kids. And she's turned up there with this jacket that has printed on it in huge letters, "I don't really care. Do you?" Now, I mean, you know, politicians normally go quite lengths to sort of look right. You know, John Howard fixed his eyebrows and, you know, even Tony Abbott stopped wearing those swimming costumes. But, you know, so you would have thought she would have put some more thought into what she wears.
Well, I don't think she can read English for us. Probably to her it was, "I care, do you?" I don't know. But the other thing is it's a jacket apparently off the shelf from Zara. So you can go and buy one. If the message, "I don't care, do you," is something you want to telegraph.
If it's from Zara, then probably it was the kids who made the jacket.
Oh, yes. From the sweatshop sending a message.
Yeah, that's right.
Still a little Chinese kid dangling off the back of the jacket, sewing madly to try and finish the hem when she was stepping off the plane. But look, no, this is actually inspired. This oversight of Melania's has inspired a new TV series from Trini and Susanna.
Oh, wow.
Our favourite fashion advisors are back.
Trini and I saw Melania Trump on the news.
We got a look at the jacket Melania Trump wore on her visit to immigrant children's centres in Texas. The back of it says, "I really don't care, do you?"
And we knew that these clueless people needed our help.
Trini and Susanna present What Not to Wear, Politician Edition. Fixing the fashion faux pas of leaders like Malcolm Turnbull.
Malcolm, we're concerned your jacket is a bad look.
How come?
Because it has "screw the poor" written on it.
Greens leader Richard Di Natale.
Richard, I'm not sure about that shirt that says "I'm an ineffective nobody."
Peter Dutton.
Peter, your clothes make you look like a sack of potatoes. Oh, you are a potato.
Pauline Hanson.
Wearing an Australian flag was one thing, Pauline, but we suspect your Ku Klux Klan bedsheets send the wrong message.
Plus a special $150,000 appearance by Barnaby Joyce.
Barnaby, you really should not be wearing a singlet that has "horny bastard" printed on it.
Oh, I never thought about that.
When Trini and Susanna present What Not to Wear, Politician Edition.
Now, Tony, do your budgie smugglers have to have onion lover printed on the arse?
Triple M's Radio Chaser.
Let's talk about what's making news in Sydney.
Newsy, newsy, newsy news. And current affairs.
Now, Charles and Andrew, we have a standing rule here at Radio Chase that whenever there's breaking news involving Slim Mahaja, we stop the show.
That's right.
To talk about it. So, of course, we need to mention that the news today has been convicted of electoral fraud 6 years after rigging a local government election, which catapulted him into public office, which is so sad because you would have thought a lovely guy like that with such a winning personality would be able to win on his own merits.
Look, this just shows how out of touch I am, Dom, because I actually thought he already had been convicted of electoral fraud and was already in jail. Like,
well, you just kind of assume that every time you...
I can't keep up.
It is hard. Yeah. Because there was a thing with the car. There's all these different bits and pieces. There are a whole lot of different property things that didn't quite work out. He's essentially... What I like about Salim is he's keeping the entire state's legal system afloat just by doing what he's doing. It's impressive.
Oh, no, that's right. I've bumped into lawyers who just say, oh, thank God for Salim Mahaja. You know, without that, I would be... having to flip burgers at McDonald's.
And I will mention, he's planning to appeal, which again means more lawsuits. So it's a mini industry. It's very, very, very impressive.
I'm just wondering, though, you know, if he turns up and his jail cell has been completely redesigned, it is much smaller than it originally looked on the off-the-plan thing that he was sold. Yeah. Oh.
But I think he's made a mistake here, because in Sydney, you don't have to get elected to the council to get your shonky developments up. You just get a brown paper bag. He didn't understand the system, guys.
He's the victim of
not knowing how Sydney works. Yeah. And I think, Salim, when you get out, just there are easier ways to get your apartment building up than to get elected to council.
Yeah.
So, newsy.
All right. Now, this is another story we've been following, and this is one of our absolute favourites. The co-founder of Godfrey's, John Johnston, he's going to succeed when his takeover came through today, just before his 100th birthday. He's locked down 91% of the retailer that for some reason only sells vacuum cleaners, and for some reason that's still a thing in 2018. And congratulations. Imagine being so hungry for business success that just shy of 100 you want to buy back Godfrey's.
Oh, Dommy, he's an entrepreneur. He's a cheeky little startup. I think he's got a long-term vision for what he wants to do with this company over the next 60 or 70 years. And... good luck to him.
Well, congratulations to him. And look, Godfrey's may well outlive him. We don't know. But
it's back in
safe hands. It's a beautiful thing.
So, newsy.
All right. Now, guys, the World Cup last night, Australia drew with Denmark. And the thing that caught my eye about that, it was an extraordinary game. And I think we probably should have beaten them. But Mille Jednak, our captain, the man who resembles Ned Kelly, he has never missed a penalty. In his entire senior career, he is 100%. Isn't that an amazing thing?
Well, it sort of explains why Australia's strategy seems to be entirely about getting penalties to enable him to score.
Like, see, he's penalty man. Yeah. It's a penalty game.
You say that in jest, but did you know that Australia's last five goals in competitive matches have all been penalties? So he's doing his bit. No one else can score, but we've got Mille.
But the reason why nobody else can score is because Tim Cahill is never played. Why was he not? Like, what's happened to him? Did he forget to turn up or something?
See, a mistake was made, Charles. And I just read a long blog about this. I'm saying, look, you've got to remember he's 38 years old. He's only played 1 hour of competitive football. And the whole of Australia thinks he should be selected without really knowing much about football. The whole of Australia's right. That's the strange thing about it. Andrew, you should... You should run out for the soccer reason. Well, I think that's an option.
You know, when I was a kid, I always dreamed of being somebody who would one day grow up to be really good at penalties. I just wanted to be a penalty guy.
Just out of interest, do you know what a penalty is, Andrew?
No, I've got to admit, I don't know what it is.
There's been this guy who's hanging around the office basically all year.
He's quite hard to miss, isn't he?
Very, very tall guy. He's sort of... bumbles in around sort of midday, 1 p.m. every day, and got chatting to him the other day, and I always wondered what he did.
What does he do? So you talk to him?
I had a chat I got up the courage to chat to him. Anyway, it turns out this guy has played in a State of Origin match.
Yeah, he's MG.
That's his name. Yeah,
welcome MG. To the show. Yeah. MG, it's great to have you here.
Yeah. It's an absolute pleasure to be on the show. And I get in a bit later than one, I must confess. I'm not that conscientious. I don't work till six, so I'm in here about 4:45.
But MG, the question that I really want to know is why would you ever play rugby league? Like, to me, it's just like, you know... a whole unpleasant... Like, I don't like being hit repeatedly for 90 minutes.
I suppose it's like, why do you box and why do you, you know, a lot of the World Cup at the moment, soccer, is why do you play sport? Why do you...
Yeah.
I played when I was five and I loved the... I was kind of a young boy growing up in Mount Druitt and my escape, I think, was through rugby league because you can basically tackle or hit them, as you say.
Yeah.
legally, and you don't get penalised for it if you take. So a lot of that built up angst, you can take it out on the field.
But don't you get a headache?
Only if you get hit by somebody else.
Right.
If, so if you're doing the hitting, no, you don't.
Yeah, so were you bigger? Were you big at a young age?
I was tall. I was always a tall kid, and then when I was about 15, I grew about 5 inches in height.
Oh, perfect.
I'm about, 6'4" now, so I was about 5'10", 5'11", and then I could tell by my cricket whites the next year that they were up to my knees, so I had to get them taken down. And that's when I kind of got my first kind of feel of anger in a rugby league game. I had this testosterone running through me that was kind of uncontrollable. And when I ran out the footy field for this trial game one day, I put on two big hits, and Tim Sheens happened to be there, who was the coach of Penrith at the time. And he asked me asked the people around him, who was that kid? And they said, it's Mark Guy. And the rest, you know, he said, who are you? Where are you from? And I said, I'm 17. I'm from Wayland. And he said, how would you like to play under 23s? And 3 years later, I was playing State of Origin.
So, in actual fact, the testosterone and things that in any other field would be considered, oh, that's terrible, he's having a testosterone rush, was actually to your advantage.
Well, yeah, now that I'm 50 years of age and I realise what endorphins are and stuff like that, it was always a release to play sport. Because I was a bit of a rebel as a kid and got up to no good, like most kids did. But I thought that rugby league, especially when I played for Panthers, we were kind of like a satellite city. I still live in Penrith. And when I was playing rugby league, it was a big escape. And the camaraderie you build up with your teammates is second to none, other than your family. They are your second family.
I've always wanted to ask you, MG, because you're famous for in Origin not punching Wally Lewis.
Yeah.
And I think all of us that have watched the game year after year, all the series losses, have wanted to punch Queenslanders.
Yeah.
And I want to know how you restrained yourself, because it was at the end of a massive, massive stoush at the end of the first half of a game, and there you are looming over Wally Lewis. He's getting in your face. Why didn't you clock him?
I would have got in big trouble if I did. And to be honest, I shit myself, to be honest. I didn't know whether he was the best player in the game at the time. He was about to retire. And this was the famous game where I'd been given the green light by certain members of the New South Wales selecting staff.
Ooh.
And
have a go, did they say?
Well, and you won't get penalised for it. So I did that. And I was sitting in the dressing room after the game with my dad having a beer, and I saw this throng of the media rush towards me. And I said to Dad, I think I got man of the match. He said, no, I don't think so.
We'll get MG's preview on game 2 of Origin in a moment here on Triple M. Vance Joy on Triple M. This is Radio Chase. So we've got MG with us talking Origin. He's just given us a bit of insight into his career as a hard man in Origin. MG,
but just before we go, I think I could be a singer too. Like, who can't do that? Bum, 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 bum.
Can you play a ute?
If Vance Joy can do it, who can't do it?
Yeah. I can see Vance MG.
He used to be an AFL player, didn't he, Vance Joy?
It'll bring as much pain to people as, you know, bashing them up on the field.
Yeah, I think I've just got an idea for a segment. MG does karaoke.
I consider myself a singer, but it's always in the key of Elvis.
Yeah. Yeah. I if you do that on the rush hour, then people really will be rushing home.
Now, look, we've got one question we don't quite understand, because every year we turn up and we have all the hope and the optimism. I've been to a couple of games and been disappointed. Why does this keep happening, MG? Why has New South Wales been so bad for so long? Where do you start?
In the short answer, we've witnessed probably the best Queensland side that we've ever seen, with four players in particular who are the nucleus of the team, and they're all gone. You know, not Billy Slater, Cooper Cronk, Thurston, and Cameron Smith. Corey Parker as well. Greg Inglis is one of them as well. But Cameron Smith's the best player I've ever seen. And when you take that out of the rugby league team, you're going to have consequences. And I think at the moment, Queensland are feeling those consequences about not having the best player in the world in their team. And while Andrew McCulloch, who's took his spot, is a really good first grader and probably a rep player, but no one can compete with Cameron Smith. And I think that's why it's our turn. I think these young guys, Brad Fittler, who I've known for 30 years, and I'm so proud of what he's doing with New South Wales. My brother-in-law, Brandy Alexander, is his assistant coach, and they're living every minute with these young blokes.
So I agree. I reckon it is the Blues' turn. So in what way?
Just on the law of averages.
Yeah, but do you think, in what way are they going to stuff it up on Sunday?
I don't know. Maybe the bus breaking down on the way to the game or something, or the man on the tickets not recognising who the players are because they're in their second game, most of them.
And, yeah, because it's quite a young team, isn't it? What's it like? Like, because often the Origin play is actually not the best game of the year, right? Like, and is it just totally overwhelming? Like, what was it like the first time you went out there?
That word, overwhelming.
Yeah.
Everyone tells you about it.
Yeah.
Everyone tells you that it's going to be fastest game you've ever played, and everyone says it's going to be up-tempo, and you all of a sudden, and they tell you not to get lost in the game, and until you play it. And my first game at 19, I got lost in the game.
And what does that mean? Like, you're just shitting yourself? You don't actually...
Yeah, a lot of nervous energy. See, nervous energy makes you very fatigued.
Mm.
And I had a lot of nervous energy because I was expecting things to happen.
Right.
Instead of making things happen.
And that's why it always drops off so much in the second half.
Yeah. Like,
that's why by the end of the game, everyone's... Yeah. Right, I see. Right.
And do you think, particularly in previous years, we've won game one, seven, I think five times, Matty John said, and then game two, there's just nothing left in the tank? Or does Queensland have the spirit? What's driving them to keep coming back?
I think we've both got spirit. I think, as I said earlier, they just had a formidable team and a superior team. And the referees put their whistles away for Origin. You know, Bill Harrigan was the first to do it. I think in one series he blew three penalties in the whole three games.
Yeah.
So you haven't got time for a stoppage. That's why people get so much more tired. But this is going to be a fantastic game on Sunday. You've got Billy Slater coming back into the team. This young dynamo called Kalen Ponga for Queensland, who have been waiting with bated breath to see how he goes on the big stage. And I don't think we'll be disappointed. I think he'll go really well. But I just think our forward pack is superior. We're debuting a young bloke because he's younger than me, 31-year-old debut, Matt Pryor, who's, I'm glad he got the gig because he's played in two grand finals, plays for the Sharkies, and I think he'll take it with both hands. And our forward pack's big, and this young Damien Cook out of dummy half, which he's very, very quick, and I think he'll be the difference in the game.
Look, I'm looking forward to it very much. I'm going out there, but if we do lose, it's happened to me a couple of times before, and then go on to lose the series, can we say, look, Greg Inglis was born in Kempsey, he's a blue, this is invalid, we want to have the whole thing again?
That's in Queensland. Yeah, that's everything. Israel Flower played for Queensland. He was born and bred in Minto, so...
It's outrageous, MG.
But you know what, Queensland, they have got a spirit. Don't underestimate them for 1 minute, but I think it's the Blues' turn.
All right, lovely to have you with us. We'll catch you at 6 o'clock on the Rush Out.
I'll squeeze your bum next time I see you, by the way.
Yes, please.
My buttocks, your buttocks, MG, anytime. Now, Charles and Andrew, we were talking earlier in the show about your fashion faux pas, and Melania Trump's had a splendid one. Going to visit some kids who've been locked up on the border, separated from their families. It's very controversial. And she wore a Zara jacket, $39, said on the back in very large letters, "I really don't care. Do you?" Question mark. And I just think sometimes you just wear... She did it accidentally. Sometimes you just wear the wrong thing. Sometimes you make a faux pas. 133353. When have you worn the wrong outfit for an event? Chase a prize pack up for grabs for the best one. 133353. When you wore the wrong outfit for a particular event.
Yeah. Tell me, did you ever... I used to just dress badly, but I can't remember wearing the wrong thing.
I nearly committed an amazing howler, and I just wasn't thinking. I have a favourite T-shirt from a band called Phoenix, it's got an album cover from their record, Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix, and they've written the name of the song on the side of a bomb, a black bomb. It's got the name of the album on the side, dropping down from a plane. That is the T-shirt, I'm not making this up, that I put on my body on the day when I went to visit the Hiroshima Memorial.
You wore a bomb to Donnie.
And I looked at myself in the mirror on the way out, and I just went, yeah, let's not. I narrowly avoided the faux pas.
Well, I have one where I actually did accidentally do it, which is I had a friend whose father was very young at the time, dying of cancer, and had to go and visit him. Literally, he was about to die. It was like the last time I was going to see him. And as I left the ward, having seen this guy, I realised that I was wearing a T-shirt which said, "Live hard, die young."
Oh, no, Charles, I don't want to hear. You should never have told that story. Can we just rewind?
I thought my Hiroshima story was going to be the darkest one. Anyway, let's go to Christina in Concord. Hey, Christina.
Hi.
When you've worn the wrong thing, I'm sure you can't top Charles's story.
Let's see. My mum wore the wrong thing. She wore a T-shirt to the shop that had a koala on it, chucking a brown eye, peering back saying, "How's that for cute?"
Oh. Did she know? Did she clock that that's what it was, or did she just throw it on?
No. Right. She had no idea.
Oh, dear.
She probably assumed that people don't make T-shirts like that. Yeah.
Yeah, was it one of those mum things? She just thought it was a really cute cartoon of a koala. Because I've done that. I was wearing, like, in front of my parents-in-law, these pajamas that had bananas on them. And I didn't realise, but these bananas are all having sex with each other. And I had no idea that's what they were doing. I thought it was just a banana patch.
Just a... Why are you wearing a shirt from a kid's show anyway? My Rob from Mortdale, hello.
Hi.
When have you worn the wrong thing?
I wore a Ryan HG If It's Feral, It's in Peril T-shirt to the vet surgery. I basically ran over the next door neighbour's cat.
Oh, no.
Oh. was the vet very suspicious of you?
the vet gave me a bit of a filthy look, and the guy in the reception that had actually a rabbit with him, it was on the front of the T-shirt, was a rabbit upside down with an arrow in it.
Oh.
He was giving me filthy looks. So I couldn't work it out. What was going on at all?
Yeah, you never do. Yeah, like, because no one thinks to just go, I find your T-shirt offensive. They just give you greasy looks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm self-conscious and awkward at the best times. So there you go. If it's feral or it's near Rob, it's in peril. That's what I should say. Let's go to Mark in Wyoming. Hey, Mark.
Yeah, how you going?
When did you wear the wrong thing?
Mate, Guns N' Roses had an album, Use Your Illusions, and a song off it called Get in the Ring, which was a reference to boxing. So I had a Guns N' Roses shirt, which had big letters on the back of it saying, Get in the Ring, and I wore it to Mardi Gras.
You would have been approved of, though. Like, you would have probably fitted in.
It would have been perfect.
You would have had a lovely night, wouldn't you?
Did you get in the ring?
No, it was actually the girlfriend that pointed it out halfway through the night. She goes, geez, you could have wore a different shirt. I'm like,
See, my understanding is that on Mardi Gras, you don't even need to wear a T-shirt. You just ask, Mark, next time. Just ask.
I know. The advertising was unnecessary.
All right. Yeah. That's a great one. I think that's the Chaser prize pack, guys.
Yeah.
Hold on the line. We'll get your details. Thank you very much for that.
Thanks.
Radio Chaser on Sydney's Triple M.